Good evening, everyone. My name is Kevin. I'm an alcoholic, and I have a sobriety date, which is November 9th, 2013. I have a sponsor. His name is Travis, and I have a home group, which is the Midtown Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's a real pleasure to be asked to do something like this. I remember probably about a little over a year ago, I came down here for the first time with my friend Chris, and I heard him speak, and I just thought it'd be such a cool thing to be able to do it, and, you know, a little over a year later, here I am, and it's a real privilege, so thank you for asking me. And I'm a real alcoholic, you know, and I started drinking, you know, when I was probably about 13 years old, and at least that's around the first time I really got drunk. Now, before then, you know, I hear a lot of people share about, you know, what it was like growing up, how they felt, and, you know, kind of like feeling like they needed a drink long before they ever had one. And I relate to that. But I also know that I was just a disturbed kid from a young age. And that's about all I really know. I was just a weirdo. You know what I mean? And I never really could connect with people on a real deep level. I was just kind of just doing my own thing. And you know, I never really felt good about who I was, you know, and I remember at an early age I found that sports kind of gave me a feeling of a job well done, you know, and so I hung on to that, you know, and I played a lot of sports as a kid, and I remember, you know what I mean, just that kind of helped me through, I'd say the early part of my childhood. You know what I mean? Because I was not good at school. You know what I mean? I was not good at making friends. And like I said, I was kind of a weird kid, you know? And you know, when I'd always known of drinking. You know, my parents had always had parties at the house. My whole family, they were all pretty, they weren't alcoholics. I mean, my mom is, but, you know, but, you know, like, not my whole family, they're pretty, they're not alcoholics, but they just like drinking a lot, you know, and they like having parties, they like getting people together, getting the whole family together, and just, you know, having a good time, and so I saw that, you know, I don't know if everyone my age would have saw it like this, but I saw it like, man, they're just, you know, that I could see that they were getting relief, but, and I don't know if everyone sees it like that. You know what I mean? But I could see it, you know, and I could see that they were getting something from alcohol and that I wasn't getting in my life at all. You know, very, like I said, very minimally, maybe through sports, you know, like getting like kind of just like that monkey off my back, you know what I mean, after like working real hard and just breaking a big sweat, you know. And so when I had always kind of, you know, tried to get drunk in a way. I never really got drunk until I was 13, but I remember I'd always had like sips and stuff and like tried to get what these people were getting. And honestly, I don't really remember the first time I got drunk. It's like, there's like one of 3 to 5 memories that are kind of all mixed together. And I don't really know which one came first. But I remember, you know, one of them, I got home from the beach, you know, and my mom or my dad, you know, he kept a whole liquor cabinet just stocked with all different types of stuff. And I remember going up to it and taking a bottle of Grand Marnier out, and I didn't know what it was, but my dad always kind of said, this is the good stuff. You know, I remember he'd brought it out for like New Year's and stuff like that. And I remember I just took like 9 shots of it, you know, and just like right back to back, you know, and I got the effect produced by alcohol, you know what I mean? Big time, you know, and little did I know that was going to be the same feeling I would chase into the book calls it, you know, the gates of insanity and death, you know. I gave up everything to drink to get that, you know, effect produced by alcohol that not everyone, in my experience, that everyone gets. You know, I believe that, you know, only alcoholics are, you know, subject to like that much of a profound experience, you know, when they drink. And, and I know that's for sure my experience, but I quickly realized that I didn't have to, you know, go through like 9 seasons of practice and, you know, games and stuff like that and 2-a-days to get like a good feeling about myself. All I had to do was like pick up a bottle and drink, and I felt great, you know. And so, you know, football went out the window, all types of sports, you know, went out the window, and I quickly, I mean, school, like I said, I was never very good at school, but that went out the window too, real quick. And I was in like this like remedial program by the end of my freshman year in high school, like for people who are about to like flunk out of, you know, high school, which, I mean, I don't know, it's, looking back on it, it really wasn't that hard, you know. And last but not least, the last thing to go was the relationship with my parents, you know, because I wasn't old enough to just, you know, say I'm just going to move out, you know, well, screw you guys, I'm leaving, you know. They had to put up with me throughout basically my whole drinking, you know. They had to put up with all the fights, all the insanity, you know what I mean, all like the late nights of them staying up worrying about where I was, whether they were going to get, you know, a call from the police or the hospital. You know, they had to put up with all that, and they saw every nasty piece of my alcoholism, you know. And that's something today, you know, which I've tried my best to rectify and make right, you know. And luckily today I have a great relationship with my parents, but for a long time, and especially into sobriety, it was very kind of like touch and go. I never, you know, it was just really hard for them to trust me again, you know, after how badly I'd kind of almost like tortured them for years. But anyway, I was very prone to getting sent to rehabs and jails. I think I got sent to my first rehab when I was about 15 years old. And it was one of those times, you know, it was after like a long weekend of drinking and doing a lot of drugs, you know, because I did a lot of those too. And I kind of just felt really bad about myself, bad about my life, you know what I mean? I was failing out of school, my relationship with my parents was getting bad, you know what I mean? Like, there was just nothing positive going on in my life. You know, I was using people left and right. Like, I had no real friendships or relationships in my life. And I kind of like, I was going on a walk with my mom, and I don't know if you've ever had moments where you get a little bit too honest with someone who's close to you, but that's what happened, and I just kind of like let it all out, and she was like, "Oh Jesus, you need to go to rehab," you know, and so I got sent to this place in Baltimore County, Maryland, and I don't know if you guys are familiar, I just didn't fit in there. You know, there's a bunch of like, just like gangsters, basically. You know what I mean? And I'm like this like suburban white kid who's just got like, you know, a problem with drinking and doing too much Xanax. And there's guys in there for like, you know, about to get sentenced to prison and stuff like that. And most of them were good people. I'm not trying to badmouth anyone. It was just like, I felt like I definitely didn't fit in, you know? And I remember very specifically, there was a meeting there maybe about halfway through. I only stayed there about 30 days. And I remember there was a man who brought in a meeting, and I remember identifying like 100% with the way he drank and what he did and how he lived his life before he got to AA. And very clearly I remember thinking to myself, well, this isn't like the same guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's clearly different, you know? And so there was a little bit of a hope there, and I think that was my first time really getting a little bit of like a nibble of Alcoholics Anonymous and maybe like a seed planted in my head, you know. But unfortunately for me, the seed was planted and buried very, very fast, you know what I mean? Like, as soon as I got out of there, I was drunk within 4 hours, because it was Cinco de Mayo, and you know what better day to drink than Cinco de Mayo. I would take any excuse, you know what I mean? I would drink because it was a good day, bad day because it was Tuesday. You know, it didn't really matter what the occasion was. I crossed a point to where I needed to drink, you know. And I never really got too badly physically addicted to alcohol, but I had this obsession you know, that just it seemed to get worse over time. You know what I mean? At first it was just like, well, maybe I'll just go have, I'll drink on the weekends. You know what I mean? And then it just kept on progressing into like, I just want to drink every day, you know, or every single time I can get my hands on it. And so, you know, I tried to, you know, tried to go to, I mean, I was going to AA kind of just on and off going, you know, my parents were making me go. I was in like a bunch of outpatient places that were making me go to AA meetings. So, you know, and I remember I would go to meetings and I would just, you know, I would go in the meeting, I would sit down for about 5 minutes and I would get up and walk around the church. I would steal stuff from the church. I would spit in the church. I would push bookshelves over in the church. You know what I mean? Like, I was a very disturbed young person when I was sober. Like, that's me, stone cold sober, without a drink. And you know, I don't know why I was doing that, you know, but I remember leaving the church and going to, like, steal a bottle of, like, cough medicine. You know what I mean? Because, like, that was the only thing that I could get my hands on. Because alcohol wasn't readily available at all times. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't of age to drink, so I would just do anything that I could get my hands on to make me feel better, you know, because I was irritable, restless, and discontent. And so, you know, I'd ended up getting into some trouble a few months after I got out of that rehab. I got really drunk one night with a few of my friends and decided to go out and break into cars, and needless to say, we got caught, you know, because I'm really bad at being bad. I always tried, you know what I mean, to like, you know, that being said, I also at the same time was that person that your mother's talked about not to hang out with. You know, my mom was like, you shouldn't hang out with that guy, when in reality, that guy shouldn't have been hanging out with me. You know what I mean? So I was like, I was bad, but I was just, I always got caught. You know what I mean? I always got caught. I always got in trouble. I was always facing consequences, which in hindsight are kind of like a blessing, you know, because it just got me to AA faster. So I ended up getting on probation, and that kind of, you know, I'd been doing a lot of drugs, so that kind of had to kind of get derailed a little bit. I mean, I got on, put on house arrest for failing drug tests at least 4 times, but I tried to stop doing drugs. And in the meantime, when those periods would happen, I would just, my drinking would just go through the roof, you know. And I remember there was my mom, she worked catering gigs, you know, for her job, and she would come home with these cases of liquor, and I would just take bottles, the full bottles, and not even like, you know, with no consideration about like, oh, she actually needs that for work and she could get in a lot of trouble. I didn't think twice about that. I just took them. And I remember there was this one night I decided to take, you know, a bottle of vodka out, and I went to a party down the street from my house, and I got really drunk, really drunk. I was blacked out. I didn't really know what happened, but I just remember that I wanted to keep the empty bottle so I could fill it back up with water and put it back, you know, where my mom keeps it, so she wouldn't notice that it was gone. But obviously, people who would be drinking it would notice. And so I didn't really care about that. I just didn't want her to, like, initially find out. You know what I mean? I just wanted to delay that as long as possible. And I remember my friend knocked it over on this guy's porch, and it shattered everywhere. You know, and I was blacked out, and I just started yelling and screaming, and, like, this guy came out. It's, like, big drug dealer guy, and he was like, if you don't be quiet, you're going to have to leave. And I'm like, fuck you. You know what I mean? And, like, and he just, like, he's like, whatever, man. And so 10 minutes pass by, and I'm, like, still screaming about this bottle. You know what I mean? And he comes out, and he's a lot bigger than me. And he's like, all right, man, that's it. You're out. And I try to swing, and I hit a girl in the back of the head on accident. And then I swing again, and I hit the same girl in the back of the head. I don't really know how that happened. I guess I just didn't know where he actually was. And so, you know, I woke up the next morning with just, like, bruises everywhere. I'd gotten my ass beat pretty good. And I had to, like, somehow managed to get to my outpatient treatment center that I had to get, you know, had to pass a drug test that day. You know what I mean? That's like just a snapshot of like what it was like. I mean, from an average person looking in on that, they would have been like, this is completely insane. Like, why is this person doing this? You know, because I was like, I was all over the place. You could never guess what I was going to do. I was impulsive. I was crazy. You know, my mom would try and stop me from going out, and I would just hit her, you know. And I'm not proud to say that at all. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that because maybe one of you have that experience, you know, and I have experience with also making that right with my mother, you know. But, you know, I would do things like that. I would bring my father to physical rage. You know what I mean? He'd have me pinned against the couch with his fist cocked back with tears in his eyes, you know, because he didn't want to hit his son, but he was also that he felt like that was the only way he could get me to stop doing what I was doing. And I just didn't care. You know what I mean? There was a part of me that did care a little bit. You know what I mean? I didn't want to do that to my parents. You know what I mean? I'm not a complete sociopath. You know what I mean? But like, I just couldn't act better than I was. You know what I mean? I couldn't stop drinking. And when I wasn't drinking, it was like worse than I was drinking. You know what I mean? I acted worse at least. And so, you know, after that incident with like, you know, the whole bottle getting broken thing, I mean, that wasn't even like a blip on the radar, actually. You know what I mean? It was kind of just like one of those times like, oh, that was a fun night. You know what I mean? And so that went on for another year, just me kind of trying to get anything that I could, you know, and I'd gotten out of that outpatient place. You know, it took me, they said that the average stay, like the average, you know, time for people, timeline there was about 2 to 2.5 months, and I was there for 5 months because I was so just pathetically lazy. You know what I mean? I would complain about not being able to like get out of there, and all I had to do was like two of these dumb little projects and I was out. And it took me 5 months to do two projects. You know what I mean? So I was you know what I mean? I always thought that I should be handed things. You know what I mean? That I didn't have to work for anything. That if I wanted something, I'm entitled to it. You know what I mean? And I don't know when that happened. I can remember being that way from when I was just a little kid. You know what I mean? And I don't think my parents tried to raise me different, but I just think I just had that in my head. And so, you know, I finally got out of there, and I was drinking, and I one night, and I ended up doing some drugs and failed another drug test, and I was on house arrest for a month. And that part of my, I guess, story was probably the most miserable month of my life, at least that I can remember, because I was stone cold sober without a solution, and none of my friends wanted to hang out with me. My parents and I didn't, our conversations consisted of like just me arguing to get my prescribed Xanax for my mom because I just needed something, you know what I mean? And trying to get drunk, but my parents had locked up all the liquor. I couldn't get anything, you know what I mean? My like I said, my friends, they were like, Kevin's crazy, you know what I mean? He's like, while he's on house arrest, we're not going to hang out with him because he's too much, you know what I mean? And I was always seeming like getting them in trouble. And so I was just basically locked in my house for a month and just losing my mind, you know? And I remember just wanting it to like kind of all end, you know? And I was doing community service over at this, you know, this thrift store in Centerville where I was living at the time. And I only had like two more hours and it was a Friday. And I remember I finished my last 2 hours. I was off house arrest. And like, I just was like, man, I got to reward myself with a drink. You know what I mean? Like, this is the best feeling ever. You know what I mean? I don't have to go back to this place. You know what I mean? I'm off house arrest. What better way to celebrate? You know? And I remember I got drunk that night and 2 weeks later, you know what I mean? I was in the hospital. Because I had tried to kill myself, you know, because it was just a long weekend of pills and alcohol, and I'd you know, I'd I don't really remember consciously doing this, but I had slit my wrist, and my mom came down and saw me, and she had to call an ambulance and rush me to the hospital, and I don't know how I could ever make that right for a mom, you know what I mean, because that's just something I can imagine they would never want to see, but, you know, that's just, you know, I hated who I was, you know what I mean, I hated that I couldn't be of use to anyone. They talk about the bedevilments in the book. I can't read them off the top of my head, but you can look them up, and you can just, that's me. You know what I mean? That was me sober, and that could be me today if I'm not involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, so I went to the hospital, and I got sent off to another rehab, and I was just kind of like the same thing, you know? Got back to, you know, going to meetings and trying to get a sponsor and doing, you know, the fancy little paperwork they make you do at rehab and really just kind of going through the motions so I could get out of there. And at this point, you know, like a friend and I were talking last night. It's like alcoholism is like rewatching the same movie every night and expecting a different ending, you know? I remember getting out of there and I wanted to stay sober. Like, so I thought. I think really what I wanted was I just wanted to feel good all the time, you know what I mean? And I wanted my life to just be better, you know what I mean? I wanted a girlfriend, I wanted a job, I wanted, or not really a job, I didn't want to work, I just wanted money, you know what I mean? Because I was lazy and, you know what I mean? I just wanted all these outside things that I thought could fix me, you know what I mean? And unfortunately, when I live like that, it's like nothing's ever enough. You know what I mean? I'm insatiable. You know what I mean? I'm always going to want more. And so I remember about 2 weeks, 3 weeks after I got out of that rehab, I was the last one at the meeting, the first one to leave. I didn't have a sponsor. I wasn't working any steps, obviously. And I was just doing what I wanted to do. I was still treating my parents horribly. You know what I mean? I was lying. I was cheating. I was stealing. And I remember 3 weeks, you know, I got so, like, discontent, you know what I mean? Like, I can't live like that very long before drinking seems like a good idea. I'm, you know, I can't manage my own life, right? When I manage my own life, I drink. And so I ended up drinking hand sanitizer and mouthwash. And it was, you know, like, that's just the length I will go to get out of the way I feel. I was on the bus going home, and it was like, it started out with just the thought, like, maybe I should drink today, you know? And then all of a sudden, 20 minutes later, by the time I get home, I was in like, it was like the only thing that I could think about. You know, it was like, get drunk, get drunk, get drunk. Where can I get it? Who can I get it from? You know what I mean? And then just like going through every single scenario, and the only outcome was me getting drunk. And the problem with me is that, like, you know, much like, you know, the time before when I, you know, got off house arrest, you know, once that train starts, it's not going to stop. Like, I have to, like, almost be physically removed from alcohol or have some type of moment of clarity, like, you know, intervention from, you know, God or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there is something that has to come between me and a drink for me to stop. And I can't just do it on my own. And I remember, you know, my grandmother was dying, you know what I mean? And I was, it was about 3 weeks after I had started drinking again. And I remember my whole family came out to come see her, you know, to say their goodbyes and everything. She couldn't really talk. She was on bed rest. And I just remember going into the house and seeing her laying there and everyone talking to her. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, screw this, you know what I mean? Like, why am I doing this, you know what I mean? And I went back down to the basement and got completely hammered and made a complete fool of myself in front of the whole family. And 2 weeks later, she passed away and I was in jail, you know, and I couldn't go to the funeral. My parents had to turn me in because at this point, you know, my probation officer didn't, you know, I mean, obviously was pretty... She was at the end of her rope with me, you know what I mean, to say the least. And And my parents, you know, I mean, they knew I was drinking, and they knew that eventually I was going to get picked up by the police or sent to the hospital or something, you know, was going to happen. And so they thought they would just, like, nip it at the bud and just send me off right now. You know what I mean? I can't imagine what that would feel like as a parent to have to do that to your child. You know what I mean? Like, turn them in to the police because you know that they're just going to end up there anyway, you know? And so I spent a few weeks in JDC, and I got sent to a wilderness boarding school down in Buckingham, Virginia. And I spent a year down there. I was sober the whole time, and it was great. You know what I mean? Learned a lot. Probably, you know, one of the best years of my life, honestly. You know, it was great. And, you know, I got back up, thought I knew a whole bunch about AA and what to do and what not to do, and thought I was, like, kind of like the AA police or the AA president. And and I got drunk, you know what I mean? And it was like, it was horrible because after staying sober for, you know, a period of time, it was almost like trying to get back into AA just like got even harder, you know? And, it was like a revolving door. Like I would get drunk one night, try to go to a meeting, you know, make a fool out of myself at the meeting because I was drunk, you know what I mean? And then wake up the next day trying, you know what I mean? Just like what happened, you know, and not be able to stay sober. And it was just like this repetitive cycle that just kept on happening. And I finally ended up, getting real drunk one night. And, you know, I went to a meeting for some reason. I don't really know why. I think it was because I was lonely. You know what I mean? I didn't have any friends because, I'm a selfish person and not a whole lot of people wanted to be around that. And I remember I went to a meeting and some guys came up to me after the meeting. They're like, "Hey, Kevin, you should come stay at a hard place tonight. If you want to, you know what I mean, you can sober you up, you know what I mean, get you a nice bed to stay in, and then, you know, be on your way in the morning, do whatever you want to do, but, you know, this might help you." And I was like, okay, you know. And I remember I went to their house, and I sat on the couch, and they all went to bed, and I was like, well, I don't really know what to do, you know what I mean, because the drunk was starting to wear off. That insanity was like slowly starting to like creep in, you know what I mean? Like just like I want to drink. How can I drink? Where can I get alcohol? You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, I found myself walking down the street. It was middle of January, pretty cold out, and I ended up getting like a couple Four Locos at the 7-Eleven down the street, and the last thing I remember is falling down a hill, you know, like rolling down a hill, like when it was just pouring rain out. And it was probably about 38 degrees outside, and I woke up on the side on these like steps leading up to like an apartment complex, just like passed out on the concrete and not knowing what had happened. You know what I mean? Really, like, really baffled. You know what I mean? And I was like, I was supposed to stay sober last night. You know, how did this happen? Or I was supposed to, you know, at least get sober, you know, and I just didn't have an answer. And, and I remember I went back to the sober house and I like passed out on the porch and I woke up to like these guys a couple years sober, just like kind of like pulling at me and poking me and like, "Hey Kevin, are you alive?" And you know, I stayed sober from that point for about 19 months. And despite having all this information I've just told you, and then some, right? Like I'd gotten expelled from school for showing up drunk, and all these things that just show that I shouldn't be drinking. You know what I mean? Just mountains of evidence that prove that I am an alcoholic. I still didn't believe it. You know what I mean? I still had to rewatch that movie to find out. You know, and I remember I got about 19 months sober. And I got a girlfriend, had a cool job, was making some good money. I mean, not anything crazy, but enough to, like, have fun with. And you know, I didn't believe I was alcoholic. And the girl left. And before I knew it, I was resentful. You know what I mean? I wasn't getting what I wanted. And so I remember the week I got drunk, I had been to 8 meetings, had talked to my sponsor. And I remember just going to one of my friend's house, you know, one of the few that would actually talk to me. And and we got drunk, you know, and it did the same thing for me that it did, you know, 5 years prior. You know, I hear people talk about like alcohol just stopped working. Particularly for me, I don't identify with that. Alcohol always worked for me. you know, I was a lunatic, you know, before I had that drink, I was resentful. I was angry. You know, I mean, my friends can attest, like I was a complete nutcase, you know, and as soon as I had that drink, it was like everything washed away. You know what I mean? Everything just felt better. And so that started a period about 3 to 4 months of me coming in and out. Well, I went to a couple meetings, but really just me just drinking myself to sleep in my basement alone. You know, I showed up to work, you know, and I did what I had to do there, but I was just miserable, you know, and I had a couple people who I would hang out with. I had one group of people I'd hang out with and another group, and I was a completely different person in both groups of people because I didn't know who I was. You know what I mean? I just wanted people, honestly, either to like me, get me booze, and get me drugs. You know what I mean? And so I would be whoever people wanted me to be in a way. You know what I mean? Or whoever I thought they wanted me to be. And so, you know, I woke up one morning after, you know, a long night of drinking and doing a lot of other things. And, it wasn't even morning. It was probably about 3 PM, honestly. And, and I remember going to the ABC store and getting a bottle of Wild Turkey and a bottle of like some type of tequila. And I remember thinking to myself, like, this is how it's going to be, you know? And I went out into the woods, and I was just going to get drunk and pass out in the woods because I had nothing better to do, you know. No one was really hanging out with me. I didn't really want to hang out with anyone. I just wanted to drink by myself, you know. And I had a moment of clarity where I kind of saw that this was going to be, you know, like I said, this was going to be the same movie, you know, for the next 40, 30 years, you know what I mean? I would be lucky if I died early, you know, because if I live the rest of my life the way that I'm living it, I mean, it's going to be miserable. I'm going to destroy everything in my past. You know, my parents are going to ditch me at some point. You know, I'm just going to end up alone and drinking myself to death. And so I went to a meeting and I told my sponsor about this moment of clarity. You know what I mean? And he was like, well, that's great, Kevin, but what's going to happen in 2 weeks when you want to drink again? And I was like, holy shit. You know, because, like, it doesn't matter. Like, that moment of clarity is all great, but if I don't follow it up with any type of action, I'm completely screwed. You know what I mean? Because in 2 weeks, that moment of clarity is going to be, like, blocked out, and drinking is going to look like a good idea again. That's been, like, my cycle, you know, the pattern my whole life. And so I had to get into action in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know what I mean? I had to start to do things that I'd never been willing to do before. And the first order of business my sponsor directed me towards was writing out a fourth step. And I remember I did it at this thing we do. It's called Men's Advance. We go down to Front Royal, and it's like a retreat thing. And I remember, you know, writing this fourth step in this little lobby area, and my sponsor comes down. He's like, "Hey, Kevin, how's it going, man?" I'm like, "Man, this is tough. You know what I mean? Like, this is rough." You know? And he looks at me dead in the eye. He's like, "Get it fucking done," and left the room. And I was like, "What?" I was like, "What do I do with that?" You know? And so I got it done because I was also riding back up to Northern Virginia with him, and it would have been a really awkward ride if I hadn't got it done. And so I did my fifth step, and after that, what we really started to do after that was start reading the book together. Because I was working nights, and we were basically on the same schedule, because he was working nights too. And so we'd meet up with each other at 11 o'clock every Friday morning, and we'd read the book, and we would highlight all the prayers, the promises, the warnings, instructions, and this book had always seemed kind of like dull and like just kind of bleak to me. I never really understood what was being read or what I was reading, and it went from that to kind of like being like having some life to it. You know, I'd finally started to understand what the book was talking about for once, you know, and I started doing everything that it said, you know, and I would do it imperfectly, you know what I mean, but I would try my best to do the things that it told me to do, and I still try to, you know what I mean, and I remember, you know, I had written a step and started making some amends, and at this point, you know, my mother had started drinking, and after about 15 years of sobriety, and it was really bad. It was really, really bad. And my sister was also, she's had some problems, and she was doing a lot of heroin. My sister had pawned off my mother's jewelry, you know, and one day I came over there, and like there was the house was just like. It was just insane, and I was living in a sober house at this time, and my mom and my sister were just throwing punches left and right, trying to fight each other, and you know, I was like, how do I handle this, you know, and it was like, it was weird, because I was like in a position where I had to like be the adult in the room, you know, and I didn't know how to do that, but luckily, you know, I had a good sponsor, and I talked to him about it, and he was like, this is what you should do. You know what I mean? And he helped guide me through those kinds of situations. And you know, aside from, you know, doing the steps and doing all the stuff, like getting into service was extremely important when I was new. You know, I never really wanted to get to the meeting early, but when I can always say that, like, when I do, I'm always happy that I do, you know, because I get there, I make some coffee, you know, I feel okay, I see some familiar faces, and you know, and it's not that bad, you know, and sobriety's been pretty awesome, you know, it's given me far more than I ever expected, you know, and to be honest, you know, I've screwed up a lot too, you know, I'm an imperfect person, you know, and I, you know, when my, you know, I don't know where I was going with that, but I try to live by principle, you know, to the best of my ability, and sometimes that looks like, you know, me like biting my tongue when someone's really making me angry at work, and then other times it looks like, me doing the complete opposite when, you know, I'm not being, you know, a practicing principled member of AA. And I've screwed up a lot, you know what I mean? But if you're new here tonight and you're looking for a solution, you know what I mean, and you think you're an alcoholic, then I mean you're in the right place. You know, it took me a long time to get to that point where I knew that I needed help and to accept help, you know, but that's all you gotta do. Is just gotta ask for help and get a sponsor. You know, get a home group. Just do what your sponsor says. You know, that's always been my go-to when I'm not really sure what to do. So anyway, it's been a real pleasure to be out here, and thanks for letting me share.